Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Verse 27. And we'll read to chapter 12, verse 5. Genesis 11, 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. And the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Amen. Well, on Sunday nights at the moment, I haven't really settled on a series. So I'm just preaching on different things that come to me during the week and that sort of get me quite excited during the week. And I sort of hope that if I get excited about them, maybe you will as well. But before long, I'll decide on a new series. I've been quite excited about this passage this week. It's the turning point of the Bible. Genesis 12, 1-3. It's the turning point of the Bible. The young people have been doing a Bible overview at Deeper recently under Bob's able leadership. So maybe some of what I say tonight, you will know already, some of the young people, but some of the older ones might not know it, so we'll carry on. Genesis 12, 1-3, the turning point in the whole Bible. Let's just read those verses, 12, 1-3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And do you know how Paul describes that passage in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, he says that God was preaching the gospel in advance to Abraham. God was preaching the gospel in advance to Abraham. So the passage that we've just read is the gospel in advance to Abraham. And it's the good news, that's what the word gospel means, the good news of God's ultimate plan. And God's ultimate plan is to bless all people. Verse 3, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God is going to bless Abraham. He's going to bless his offspring, make them into a great nation, and he's going to bless all the peoples on this earth through Abraham and his offspring. God is committed to blessing this world. So that's the first point. Here we've got the commitment, God's commitment to bless. Now let me just fill you in on what's been happening before this. It's very, very important. Chapters 1 to 11 of Genesis are the prologue to the whole Bible. In chapter 1, God creates the universe, he creates mankind as part of the universe, mankind is in his image, and mankind is to rule the earth as God's representative. And God blesses mankind. Turn back to chapter 1, the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Well, read verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God blessed them. So God created humanity in order to bless humanity. What does it mean when it says that God blessed them? It meant that he bestowed real happiness upon them. He bestowed real prosperity in the true sense of that word. Real happiness and prosperity upon mankind. He blessed the human beings that he had created. And that was what he wanted to do. God wants to bless mankind. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, you find out what that blessing entails. An unspoilt relationship with God, an unspoilt relationship with others. Adam and Eve get on really well together in chapter 2. An unspoilt relationship with the earth. And Adam is told to fill the earth. In other words, God wants a happy world. God wants to bless the world. Chapter 3, the unthinkable happens. Human beings turn from God and turn against God. And God is the source of blessing. But they turn from him. They doubt that God has their best interests at heart. They're suspicious that God might be withholding some blessing from them. Why shouldn't we eat this fruit? It looks pretty good. Does God really want to bless us? Maybe he's withholding some blessing from us. Why shouldn't we eat this food? Why shouldn't we decide how to be blessed? So they decide that they know better than God how blessing comes. And so they disobey God, they turn from God, they turn against God, who is the source of blessing. And at the end of chapter 3, we get a new word appearing for the first time in the Bible, and that word is the opposite of bless. It's the word curse. And we read that the serpent is cursed, the ground is cursed, and in chapter 4 we read that Cain is cursed. Cain is under a curse. And so blessing turns to cursing. So instead of the blessing that God wants man to enjoy in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, by the time we get to Genesis 3 and 4, we've got sin, alienation, guilt, division, frustration, death, the opposite of blessing. And mankind does fill the earth. God tells mankind to fill the earth, and mankind fills the earth. And he takes with him, wherever he goes, the curse and not the blessing. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 6, you find the result. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. His heart was filled with pain. Verse 11. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God decides to start again. And we've got the story of the flood. And after the flood, Noah comes out of the ark into a renewed earth, if you like, and he's like a new Adam. God started all over again. He's like a new Adam. And if you look at chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his son. God blessed Noah and his son. So God wants to start again, as it were, with Noah this time. See if he can do a better job of it. But nothing has really changed. Nothing has really changed. Look at chapter 8, verse 21. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. So nothing has changed. The heart of man is still exactly the same as it was before the flood. And again, man fills the earth. And in chapter 10, you've got a list of nations. And there are 70 of them, 70 nations. And that number is probably significant. It's a Jewish number, really, a Jewish way of saying the perfect number. All the nations, Genesis chapter 10. If you read your Bible carefully, you'll find that chronologically, chapter 10 comes after chapter 11. Because if you read chapter 10 verse 5, for instance, chapter 10 verse 5, it talks about the nations spreading out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. Each with its own language. And that occurs three times in chapter 10, each with its own language. And then in chapter 11, you find out how these different languages came about. The story of the Tower of Babel. In order to avoid filling the earth, the people gather on the plain of Shinar to build a city with a tower that reaches to heaven. This is a picture of self-reliance. A city where we'll be safe, where we'll be secure, and a tower that reaches to heaven. It's a picture of self-reliance. It's a picture of pride without God. We're going to get on all right without God. We don't need him. We'll build our city. We'll build our tower. It's a kind of collective fall as opposed to a personal fall in chapter 3. And God has to come down and end the Babel project. And the tower is left half built. And he scatters the peoples over the earth and makes them into the nations of chapter 10, which, as I say, chronologically comes after chapter 11. And they're all speaking different languages. So it looks, towards the end of chapter 11, as if the whole creation project, the whole humanity project, has failed. Failed miserably. Chapters 1 to 11, the prologue to the whole of the rest of Genesis, and the prologue to the whole Bible indeed. And that brings us to chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, is the turning point. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, is the gospel. It's the good news. Out of this complete mess, Genesis 1 to 11, out of this complete mess, out of the blue, out of the barren womb of chapters 1 to 11, comes Abraham in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And you know, he comes from the very area where they built the Tower of Babel. He comes from Ur of the Chaldees, which is over there in what we now call Iraq, where they first built the Tower of Babel. So he's one of them. He's a complete pagan from Ur of the Chaldees. And out of the blue, God picks him. He picks one childless couple. And from this one childless couple, he launches his whole mission of salvation. The God who will later become known to Israel as Yahweh calls this one man. And he has a short conversation with him recorded in Genesis chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. And in that short conversation recorded in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, one word occurs rather prominently, I think you will agree. Five times in verses 2-3, God uses the word bless, or blessing, or blessed. Bless, 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 bless. Five times in verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 12. So God's project to bless humanity has restarted. Okay? In spite of everything that's happened in 1 to 11, in spite of Eden, in spite of the flood, in spite of Babel, God is going to bless Abraham. And he's not going to just bless Abraham, he's going to bless Abraham's offspring. And he's not just going to bless Abraham's offspring, he's going to bless all the nations, all the peoples, it is actually. All the peoples, all the people groups. It doesn't mean every single person in the world. It means every single people group in the world is going to be blessed through Abraham. All those nations in chapter 10 that have been scattered over the Near East, and more nations beside, nations that Abraham had never heard of, nations that nobody in the Bible has ever heard of, nations that we had never heard of until about 300 years ago, Aborigines in Australia, Maoris in New Zealand, Native Americans in what we now call the United States, people in the jungles of Amazonia, people that Abraham didn't know existed, and that even the Apostle Paul didn't know existed, and that we didn't know existed until quite recently. God is going to bless all the nations through Abraham and Abraham's offspring. Out of the chaos and the curse of Genesis 1 to 11, suddenly there emerges chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. I think this is great, don't you? I hope you do. In Genesis 1 to 11, we've got the problem. In chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we've got the solution. God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless the world. And in order to bless the world, I need you. I need you, Abraham. So now we know what the rest of the Bible is going to be about. It's going to be all about the working out of this plan to bless the world. It's going to be the story of how God fulfills his commitment to bless mankind. And so important is this promise to bless mankind. It's repeated another four times in the book of Genesis. We won't read each of them. But in chapter 18, in chapter 22, in chapter 26, and in chapter 28, God repeats to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob his promise that he's going to bless the nations through their offspring. Okay, so God's commitment to blessing. And then the other point I wanted to make tonight, the condition of blessing. And the condition of blessing is, as ever, faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. It was in Eden. It was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had to trust God and do what he said. Trust God and do what he said. The moment they stopped trusting him and stopped trusting his word and stopped doing what he said, blessing turned to cursing. In order to bring about this blessing, there is not just a promise to Abraham, there is also a command. Before God promises to bless Abraham, he says to Abraham, leave, verse 1, your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave everything you're familiar with and go. That's the condition of blessing. There's no blessing in Ur of the Chaldees. There's no blessing on the plain of Shinar. There's no blessing anywhere near Babylon. So Abraham has to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Do you know they estimate, I don't know how they work this out, but they estimate, the experts, they estimate that there was a population of 300,000 in Ur of the Chaldees. 300,000. There was a huge ziggurat there, just like the Tower of Babel. In fact, it might be that the Tower of Babel was based, the story was based on this ziggurat, the base of which is still to be seen in the area of Ur of the Chaldees. You can still see the huge base of this ziggurat. On the top of this ziggurat, there was a temple to the moon goddess, that they worshipped in the area. You can see beautiful artifacts from Ur of the Chaldees in the British Museum if you go there. I'm told that the houses, some of the houses in Ur of the Chaldees had central heating. We're talking 2,000 years before Christ. Houses with central heating and drainage. It was a centre of culture and commerce. And God says to Abraham, leave it. Get out. Get out of there. And go. And if you do, I'll bless you. And I'll bless all the peoples of the world through you. Presumably one of the peoples of the world that was going to be blessed through Abraham, ultimately, was Babylon. Was Ur of the Chaldees. But Abraham wouldn't be a blessing to Babylon as long as he was in Babylon. He would only be a blessing to Babylon when he'd left Babylon. And I think there's a very important lesson for us there. The world will only be blessed by people who have left the world, in one sense. There's a sense in which they haven't left it, in which they're active in it, but there's another sense in which they've left it. Okay, so the condition for blessing is faith and obedience. And you're familiar with the story of Abraham? It's the story of his faith and his obedience. The whole of the rest of the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis. And faith and obedience are two sides of one coin. Please remember that. They're two sides of one coin. Faith is trusting God. And if you trust God, you'll obey him. Always. You'll always obey him. If you disobey him, it means you don't trust him. It's as simple as that. Abraham trusts God's word. He trusts God. His faith and obedience are not perfect. He wavers often. He makes lots of mistakes. But the story of Abraham's life is the story of his growing faith and his growing obedience. And it reaches a climax in that wonderful chapter 22 where Abraham is even willing to sacrifice his only son, the object of all his hopes for the future. And Abraham is willing to let him go if God wants it. And it's at that point in Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham has made clear to God that he's willing to do that, that God repeats the promise in a very clear way to him. So, the condition for the blessing, faith and obedience. And you haven't left Genesis before you see the beginnings and the foreshadowing of an obedient offspring of Abraham, blessing not only the offspring of Abraham, but blessing the nations as well. His name is Joseph. And during that time of famine, obedient Joseph, the offspring of Abraham, is a blessing not only to his brothers, but he's a blessing to Egypt and he's a blessing to the nations of the world. And that's how the book of Genesis ends, with an offspring of Abraham, Joseph, blessing his brothers and blessing the nations of the world. And you know who he is a foreshadowing of, don't you? Okay, well, we'll rush completely on. I've got another 65 books to deal with you. Just finish Genesis now. We'll come to Exodus next, and we'll deal with the other 65 books of the Bible this evening before we go home. It's only 7:15. Don't look so worried, I'm only joking. Abraham's offspring becomes the nation of Israel eventually. And like Abraham, they're called to be a blessing. God says, I'll bless you, Israel, because you're the offspring of Abraham. I'll bless you, and I'll make you a blessing. But again, the condition, faith and obedience. You've got to follow the example of your father, Abraham. You've got to follow the example of his faith. You've got to follow the example of his obedience. If you obey me, Israel, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, you'll be cursed. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, right at the end of Deuteronomy, there's blessings and curses. And God says to Israel, choose which one you want. Do you want my blessing or do you want my cursing? If you want to be blessed, obey me. Trust me and obey me. If you want my cursing, disobey me. We'll go into 2 Samuel now. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God narrows it down to a king. Israel is going to be ruled by a king. And he's going to be an offspring of David. The offspring of David are going to be the kings of Israel. And God says, I'm going to bless your offspring, David. We've heard something like that before, haven't we? I'm going to bless your offspring. And I'm going to make your offspring a blessing. If your offspring is faithful to me and obedient to me, I'm going to bless the world. I'm going to bless you through a faithful, obedient king. An offspring of David. And so you read through the Old Testament and you find that both Israel and her kings all fail. Instead of being faithful and obedient, they're unfaithful and they're disobedient. The nation and its king. And therefore, instead of being a blessing to the nations, instead of being blessed and being a blessing to the nations, they're conquered by the nations, they have to pay tribute to the nations, and eventually they're taken into exile into the nation. So has God's project of blessing failed again? You get to the end of the Old Testament. Has it all failed again? Is nothing ever going to be ever going to work as far as blessing humanity is concerned? The psalmist expressed the prayer and the hope that one day it will work. Turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Verses 1 to 4. 1 to 5. Here's a prayer that Israel sang in its temple. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. You've heard that somewhere before, haven't you? Numbers chapter 6, the high priestly prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why? Why? That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. And when will the peoples praise you? When will the peoples praise you? When Israel is blessed. The promise was, I'll bless you and I'll bless the nations through you. And so the prayer is, bless us, Lord. May God be gracious to us and bless us so that your ways may be known amongst the nations, your salvation amongst the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. And what about this king that's coming? Psalm 72, Psalm 72, verse 17. Psalm 72, 17. It's a psalm addressed to the king of Israel. And if you look at verse 8, he will rule from sea to sea, from the river, that's the river Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. 11, all kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. Verse 17, may his name endure forever, may it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. A reference right back to Genesis chapter 12. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. And the prophets, they call Israel to obedience and blessing so that the nations might be blessed. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just and righteous way you swear as surely as the Lord lives, then the nations will be blessed by him, and in him they will glory. Did you get that? If you return to Yahweh, Israel, if you get rid of your detestable idols, then the nations will be blessed, and in him they will glory. When I bless you, Israel, the nations will be blessed. Okay, well, we better get into the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Interesting verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Very short genealogy. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. Who is he? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Here at last is Abraham's faithful and obedient offspring, the son of Abraham. Here at last is Israel's faithful and obedient king. It is through his faithfulness and obedience that blessing will come to Israel and blessing will come to all nations. Here he is at last, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, sorry. The son of Abraham. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. Luke 2, 29 to 32. The words of Simeon in the temple. Sovereign Lord. This is Luke 2, 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, glory to your people Israel. He's come at last. He's come at last. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. I say to you, says Jesus, that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Many from the east and the west taking their places. So the food laws, incidentally, have been abolished. The food laws must have been abolished. Taking their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Matthew 28, after the resurrection, Jesus sends his church into the world. Go into all the world, into all nations, making disciples of all nations. Now, at last, the time has come for the world to be blessed. What about the curse? What about the curse upon man's disobedience and the curse upon Israel's disobedience? Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus became the curse for us, that we might receive the blessing. The blessing of the Spirit. That's why Jesus died, that we might receive the Spirit. The blessing of the Spirit. Okay. And now anyone, Jew or Gentile, who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a child of Abraham. Verse 29 of Galatians 3, Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed or offspring and heirs according to the promise. All that God promised to Abraham and his seed, we now enjoy through Jesus Christ. We, Gentiles as well as Jews, are sons of Abraham. Okay. Revelation 7, this is my last verse, Revelation chapter 7. How does it end? Nice to know how it ends, isn't it? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So does the blessing project succeed? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All nations, every tribe, every tongue, every language around the throne of God and of the Lamb. And 22:3. So we've done the whole Bible tonight. We've done the whole Bible tonight. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. No longer will there be any curse. Why not? Because he became a curse for us on Calvary's cross, that we might receive the blessing promised to Abraham. No wonder Paul said that God preached the gospel in advance to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3.